I have a confession to make. It's not too bad. This Advent, I've been at a loss. Because nothing that normally makes sense to me or tugs at my heart in preparation for Christmas really did anything for me. I tried playing carols in my room, decorations, gifts, even the excitement of going home after Christmas. Just not doing it for me. I'm trying hard, and not that I did not take Advent seriously. Everything I preached, I tried to practice. And then I read the short gospel that we have for today's Mass. Mary visits Elizabeth. And something clicked. This Advent, I'm totally mesmerized by Mary, totally. And as Advent comes to a close, and as we get closer to the feast of Christmas, I feel that this Christmas is going to be different for me, because not that Jesus is out of this Christmas, but I think this is going to be a Mary Christmas for me. So I got so taken up with this passage that I decided that I'm going to read the entire incarnation story again. So I read Matthew and Luke that have the incarnation stories, and I read Mary's role in Jesus' life all over again. And then I began to write this homily. In the end, I was surprised, and I will share my surprise with you at the end. But there are three things that Mary is getting me with this Advent, and I want to just share that with you. The first thing that strikes me about Mary is her availability. Now, especially when life is as hectic and stressful as it is for me, this whole concept of availability is very challenging. Between funerals and wedding preparations and weddings and baptisms and hospital visits and numerous meetings and retreat preparation and retreat preaching and homily preparation and all that, availability on a personal level, one-on-one level, is a challenge for me, and I want to be available for people on a personal level. But as I look around, I also see how available people are in this parish. You know, we have two support staff. The rest of the work in this parish happens because people are available and they give themselves so freely. Yesterday for the decorations, we had 40 people making themselves available in a very busy season to do this. Now, I want you to think about Mary. Knowing how difficult it is to be available, this woman, when the angel came to her and announced that she would conceive, she made herself available to God like no human person has ever done on the face of the earth. Her engagement to Joseph, her parents, her reputation, her personal life. She risked everything to be completely and totally available for God. And then, as if that was not enough, she rushes to Elizabeth to be available for her. So for me, this Christmas, It's about being available to God in a serious way. And I'm encouraging you to please think of yourselves like Mary, who's available. We know we are available to God if we give time to God in serious prayer and serious scripture study. We know we are available to God if we take the time to discern God's will and do it. We know we are available to God if we take the time to care about those in need. And this woman, Mary, she teaches us that a true disciple of Christ is available to God and others in some serious and radical way. It's the first thing that gets me about Mary: total availability. The second thing that gets to me about Mary is how she keeps it so real, so real. And sometimes I live in this illusion that because I've dedicated my life to God in the way I have done, that life should be kind of different for me, almost special. Here's an example. On Thursday, we had just finished our Christmas party with the teachers over at the school. And knowing how hectic life is, I'm rushing to the next appointment, and I get into my car, I put something in, and then I back out of the garage with my car rear door open. I pull back and I heard the door snap. And my back door is now overlapping the front door. I put my hand on my head and I said, "God, give me a break." But that's not what Mary said. That's not what Mary did. She's afraid at times. When the angel came to her, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." She's not afraid to be afraid. And when she had real questions, she asked the angel, "How can this be? How can I conceive without a man?" She went to her son when the wine ran dry at the wedding at Cana and intervened on the couple's behalf. She trusted God when she began to see her son's life take a direction in life where he was definitely going to face very, very stiff opposition, perhaps death. And when that happened, she stood by her son. Not once did she say, "God, give me a break." She kept it real. She kept God real in her life through it all. And she said this: "I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." I have learned that I must keep it real. I have learned that I must keep God real in my life at all times and not live in this illusionary world. That I must keep God real in my otherwise very comfortable life. I must learn to say, "Let it be done to me according to your word." The third thing that gets me about Mary: for me, this woman at the same time represents tenderness and tremendous strength. Mary held Jesus' body in the scriptures two times. Once, when the Magi came to visit, Jesus was found with Mary. And I'm sure she looked at this little baby in her arms, she held him to her bosom, she loved him, and she poured her love on. And she saw the dreams, the hopes, the visions that the angel had said to her would come true about Jesus. And I'm sure she had great hopes for her son. The second time she held the baby in her arms is after the body is taken down from the cross. The bruised, battered, and dead body of her son. And this time, once again, she holds this body close to her heart. And she thinks of all the dreams and the hopes and the visions and the great prophecies the angel had made on his behalf. Mary held Jesus ever so tenderly, and yet with such strength, the strength that only a mother can show for her son in faith, her faith in God. Blessed are you who believe that everything the Lord promised would be fulfilled, even when it looked like it's all ended up in failure. This woman holds her son close to herself. And at the same time, she shows tenderness and strength. Mary is my model as a priest, as a pastor, as a leader, a teacher, a disciple, a servant, and friend. If I must be anything, I must be like Mary. And I'm not forcing Mary down your throat today that she may be your model as well. I'm not even saying that. Perhaps there are other people in the church that have greater meaning for you, but it is worth reflecting on the tenderness and the strength of this woman, because this woman gave us Jesus. So here is a surprise that I stumbled upon at the end. The more I allowed Mary to mesmerize me, the more I realized how centered her life was around her son, the more I realized that that's where Mary is leading me. She's leading me to let my life be as centered around Jesus as hers was. No wonder she's the first and the most exemplary disciple. No wonder Elizabeth calls her blessed among all women. No wonder she's called blessed by all generations. Christmas suddenly began to make sense. And I'm sorry, I'm still going to admit that carols and decorations and gifts are still not doing anything for me. They're not. But rather, the God in the manger and the God on the cross, Mary led me to her son. Mary led me to Jesus. So I come to celebrate this Eucharist. And I celebrate this Eucharist knowing that very soon the Jesus that Mary held in her bosom, that I will hold in my hands. And very soon you will too. The same Jesus in this Eucharist, we will hold him. He is the Savior. He is the reason for our Christmas. This is the Word made flesh, and Mary brings us to Jesus. Let us accept, let us love, let's humbly embrace our Savior. People of God said,